Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading verses 26 through 38. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open there with me. I know it's not become common for us to carry our Bibles to church anymore, but I'm always going to encourage it. So I do hope that you'll bring your Bibles so you can follow along, maybe highlight, maybe make notes or whatever else. All right, Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Hear now the word of our Lord. I'm going to make sure that my mic's on. It's not. There we go. Now it's on. Now everyone online can hear me too. All right. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. There's the word of God for the people of God today. Thanks be to God. Well, today we come to our second sermon in our Advent series, looking at the various aspects of our faith that bring joy into our lives as we lean into the joy of Jesus. This joy is more than mere happiness, which comes and goes and is dependent upon life circumstances, but it is instead a supernatural work of joy, work of the Holy Spirit that is within us, that creates real joy in our lives. And it is my prayer throughout this series of sermons that you will be able to lean into the joy of the Lord, and that your faith and life will find its resting place in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we look to our New Testament passage this morning, we read what has come to be known as the Annunciation of Jesus' birth. We always have to put those big fancy words on passages. Annunciation. Couldn't you just say announcement? But Annunciation is what it has been called. And as we just read, the angel Gabriel appears to the young virgin named Mary and tells her that she will conceive through the work of the Holy Spirit and will give birth to the Son of God, who would be the Savior of the world. And we don't know exactly how old Mary was at the time, but based off of marriage customs, it's believed that she was about 14 or 15 years old. Do you imagine getting that announcement at 14 or 15 years old that you would become the parent, the earthly parent of the Son of God? Can you even imagine what that would have been like for her? And despite the shock of what she has been told, after asking only one question in order to figure out the logistics of how it was going to happen, she said, "Okay, great, I'm going to be pregnant. How?" So she wants a little bit of clarification, but after that, she faithfully agrees with the words, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And while much can be said about the miraculous and unfathomable message that the angel presented to Mary that day and her response to this encounter and opportunity, I want to take a few moments this morning and instead look at the greeting that the angel gave to her when he first appeared. When the angel Gabriel appeared to her, he greeted her with the words, "Greeting, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, the word which we translate here as favored one is a word that means one to whom grace or favor has been bestowed. Someone whom grace and favor has been bestowed to. And as we look deeper into this term, we see that it can be expanded to include beauty, thankfulness, gratitude, delight, kindness, and benefit. These are all different terms that are associated with this one word. So when you look at this, a deeper understanding of what is being said to Mary might sound more like this. Greetings, one upon whom the Lord bestows favor and grace, in whom he delights, and on whom his kindness and his gratitude is, to whom he will work for the benefit of. If I were to take this longer description of who Mary was named to be, I might summarize it by simply saying, greetings, you who are loved by God. This is who Mary was and is to God. And it's because of who she was, because of her faithfulness to God, her willingness to serve God, and God's own love for her that she was chosen to be the one through whom true love would enter into this world and become flesh. The choosing of Mary to be the one who would bear the Messiah was the first step in implementing God's long-planned fulfillment of his covenants with the people of God and his long-term plan to bring about the salvation of the world, a plan that we are told was laid before the foundations of the earth, before God spoke that first word of creation. He knew that the time would come when we would need a Savior. In response to God's faithfulness and love for her, Mary accepted the words of the angel and accepted the plan that God had for her. And in the moment of her acceptance, the moment that she said yes, the moment that she said, I am the Lord's servant, let it be done to me according to your word, Christ himself, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, came into the world and became the only incarnate one as she conceived and began to carry the one who is true love within her womb. And while we don't fully celebrate the coming of Christ into the world until his birth, the moment that she conceived, Christ came into the world and became the only incarnate Son of God. This miraculous event, which was a one-time event in all of history, was the result of God's unfailing love for all of humanity, his unfailing, faithful love. For as many people's favorite verse from the Gospel of John, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It was the love of God that brought Jesus into this world when Mary said yes to God. Now, God's faithful love is something that we see all throughout the Scriptures. A few weeks ago, as we started the service, we recited Psalm 136, which, if you remember, as we were reciting that psalm, every single verse of that psalm ends with the phrase, "His love endures forever." And we said that over and over again as we read that psalm, "His love endures forever." Or as some translations put it, "His steadfast love endures forever." And yet another translation says, "His faithful love endures forever." And then you have translations like the King James or New King James, which puts it an entirely different way, and it says, "His mercy endures forever." And so we might expand that to say, "His merciful love endures forever." And all of these ways of saying that the love of God endures forever. All of these ways of saying it are attempts at describing the word which is consistently used throughout the Old Testament to describe the kind of love that God has for his people. Now, I've talked about the different words for love in the New Testament. In the Greek language, you have those three words for love, eros, phileo, and agape. And it's that agape love, that unconditional love that God has for us. But in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, we see this word that is used over and over again in order to describe the love of God. And that word, it's a Hebrew word, and the Hebrew language, it's kind of guttural at times, and you have to, you know, have this sound as you're speaking. And so it's chesed is the word that is used. Chesed. That's the word that is used to describe the love that God has for us. But chesed means so much more than simple love. The word chesed means kindness, mercy, loyalty, steadfast love, and speaks of faithfulness to the promises that you make. It is a love that never ends, a love that is faithful and loyal. It is one that shows kindness and mercy and so many other things to those who receive it. I wonder, as you hear this description, this never-ending love, faithful and loyal, shows kindness and mercy, does this kind of love sound familiar to anyone? It's the same love that is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when it describes the love of God. This word that means love and faithfulness, it was also historically used to describe faithfulness to the covenants that someone had made. It was used in political senses when talking about a covenant made between a tribe and its leader or a king and his subjects, but it was also the term used for a covenant of adoption. When someone was adopted into the family, there was this kind of love, and as well as the covenant of marriage. Marriage, adoption, these are images that are often used to talk about the covenants that God has made with his people. And when you are faithful to the covenants that you've made, when you are faithful and loyal, it was this chesed love that was shown. This word, this kind of love, is used to describe the love that God has for us no fewer than 127 times in the Psalms alone. In just that one book of the Bible, Psalms, this kind of love is described from God toward us 127 times. That doesn't even mention all of the other hundreds of times that it's used throughout the Old Testament. God's love for us is one in which he will always remain faithful to us, in which he always keeps his covenants with us. He will always show his loyalty, his kindness, his mercy to us in every possible situation. We see this love that he had for the people of Israel in the words of our Old Testament reading today from the book of Isaiah. As we open that chapter, Isaiah chapter 40, it begins with these words, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned." And it goes on later in that passage. It says, "He will tend his flocks like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. And he gently leads those that are with young." As we look at this passage from Isaiah, it comes in the midst of a very turbulent time for the people of God. A little bit of Old Testament history here. At the time that these words were being spoken, the northern kingdom, which was 10 of the 12 tribes, which had consistently rebelled against God, at this point had been conquered and taken off into exile. And the southern kingdom had also been consistently rebellious against the law of God And so the Lord had brought an army to the very doorstep of Jerusalem. The same nation that conquered the northern kingdom brought an army to the very door of Jerusalem and laid siege to the city. And all looked lost. But in those last moments, right before Jerusalem fell, the people, led by their king Hezekiah, repented and cried out for mercy to the Lord. And in response to their crying out for mercy, God spared them from the Assyrian army, and he won the fight for them. They didn't have to fight. God won the battle for them. When they turned to the Lord, he was faithful to them. And now God was saying to his people, comfort. The war has ended. You have been forgiven. God brought judgment to them, but in the moment that they repented, he said, I forgive you. Have comfort, because I am with you. And in this passage, it speaks of the greatness of God. And the prophet describes the Lord by saying that he will tend his people like a shepherd goes out to defend his flock. It goes on to describe the loving way that the Lord cares for his people. I like what one commentary said about this passage. It says, the Lord comes not only with strength and power, as we see with his defeating of the army, but with the tenderness of a good shepherd who loves to tend his flock. His strong arm not only rules, but it is also gentle and tender as it shows care and concern for the lambs while leading those with young. God cares for the needs and problems of every individual in a personal way. We hear here described the faithfulness, the steadfast, the hesed love of God. And along with this display of God's steadfast love in Isaiah 40, we have a promise of the final fulfillment of the covenant of God that he made with his people. When we hear these words, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news, behold your God. And these same words would be used to herald the coming of the Messiah by the one whose conception was the sign through which Mary would know what the angel said was true. We turn back now to our New Testament passage. We see the fulfillment of all of God's promises to the people of the Old Testament being initiated through this annunciation to Mary about the birth of Christ. The announcement to Mary and her subsequent acceptance of God's will in her life resulted in the fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham, to David, and even the covenant which he made with the people of Israel. To Abraham, God promised that through his descendants, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And in the child of Mary, a descendant of Abraham, this promise was fulfilled, that all may find eternal life. And in the child of Mary, we also see the fulfillment of the promise to David, to whom God promised that he would establish his kingdom forever and ever, and that he would never withdraw his steadfast love from him. His kingdom and his house would be established forever. And again, in the son of Mary, a descendant of King David, this promise is fulfilled. For Christ reigns as our eternal king, and his kingdom shall never end. And then finally, in the covenant that God made with his people of Israel, he vowed that for those who were faithful, blessings would be upon them and upon the fruit of their wombs, and the Lord would establish them as a holy people who would be called by the name of the Lord. And even if they turned away at some point and brought down upon themselves the curses of the covenant, if they repented and turned back to the Lord, he would restore them, and he would call them his people. He would call his people out from among the nations and give them a land that he had promised them, and he would circumcise their hearts and the hearts of their offspring, that they would love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and that they may live with him forever. And through the salvation that comes from Christ our Lord, all of this came to pass. And the announcement made to Mary, as she is named the favored one of God, the one whom he loves and upon whom his grace and favor is bestowed, we see the beginning of God's faithfulness to all of the promises that he made. In the Annunciation to Mary, we see the chesed love of God fulfilled as he fulfilled all of his promises and all of his covenants. And we can have joy because if he was faithful to the people of Israel, who were extremely unfaithful to him, as we look back at the history of Israel, we see unfaithfulness followed by repentance, followed by unfaithfulness and even more unfaithfulness, followed by repentance, and then unfaithfulness again. And if God was faithful to those fickle people, we can have faith that he will also, out of his love, be faithful to the covenants and promises that he made to us. Even when we mess up, God's love never fails. He will always keep his promises to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He has promised to us that one day Christ will come again and all who call upon his name will be with him forever. And it's because of his unfailing love that we know that he will keep this promise as well. So as you go forth today, go forth in joy, because we have assurance in the unfailing, faithful, steadfast love of God. Go with joy because you are loved by God. Amen.